How good is footy? How good is rugby league? And how good is the NRL? That's right, the 2024 NRL season kicked off from Las Vegas, Nevada. 40,000 fans entered the gates. There was English fans, there was Australian fans, obviously, and there was even some United States new fans in attendance to see the start of the 2024 season, the Manly Seagulls, the South Sydney Rabbitohs, the Sydney Roosters, and the Brisbane Broncos put on a show to really promote the game for the first time overseas. It was a resounding success. I know there's a lot of criticism pre-game and, you know, in the build-up, but what a rugby league event it was. The atmosphere seemed electric in the crowd, and even watching back home in Australia, there's no doubt that rugby league, and the NRL in particular, has been the talk of the town. No mentions of rugby union, no mentions of AFL. It's all been about rugby league this past week, and what an amazing way to start the season. It looks like it can only be classified as a resounding success. I mean, Australians are going to continue to travel over Las Vegas the next 4 years. That's right, 1 year is done out of the 5 year deal to start the seasons in Las Vegas. But the NRL also is looking to put a bit of a blueprint into the United States market. The games for the first time were showcased on Fox Sports 1 and 2 over in the US, and we don't know the viewership yet, but I do know that over in Australia, you know, through Fox Sports and Channel 9, millions of viewers checked in. Welcome to Steve's NRL Footy Tips for the second part of Round 1. We've had two games so far this weekend in Las Vegas, and now for the, you know, this upcoming weekend, the other 12 teams that haven't played in Round 1 are in action. Of course, the West Tigers have the bye. They'll kickstart their season in Round 2. But what an exciting time to be a rugby league fan. And Steve's NRL Footy Tips is back for another season. I'm going to be previewing every game of the 2024 Telstra Premiership, every State of Origin game, and even maybe some internationals at the end of the season. I would love as many of you guys to get on board as possible. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you guys listen, whether it be Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you haven't already, please go and like Steve's NRL Footy Tips on Facebook to be notified with the latest episodes and the future of Steve's NRL Footy Tips. But, you know, this is my fifth year doing the podcast. Last week, I had my pre-season spectacular where I previewed those Vegas games. I got 1 out of 2 footy tips correct. We'll get into that in a moment. But I also previewed all the 17 teams that are taking place in this year's premiership race. And, you know, I got some good feedback for the show. I had 5 guests on. A big thanks to Aaron Mann, Matt Cosgrove, Dom Stevenson, Matt DuPont, and Nicole Timotreski for coming on and being a part of it. But if you guys haven't, go check out, you know, that podcast. Even fast forward, find what where I ranked your team, and let me know whether you agree with where I think that your rugby league side will finish in 2024. I enjoyed doing the show. It was over 3 hours long, the longest episode of Steve's NRL Footy Tips ever, but it truly was a blast. And, you know, for the last couple of days, I've just been buzzing that rugby league's back, and we'll talk about the Vegas games in a moment. But this afternoon, I was fixing my Supercoach team, looking at my footy tips, and, you know, this is what I've been missing. This is what I've been missing between November and and the start of March now, is rugby league in my life. Sure, we have, you know, NFL and NHL, the American sports, NBA in the off-season, and they're great, and I especially love my NHL and NFL. Cricket in Australia, love a bit of cricket as well, but there's nothing quite like the spectacle of rugby league, and I'm glad the American and an American audience, perhaps for the first time ever, got to experience it, you know, live and even on their TV sets. So, you know, I think that upwards and onwards for rugby league. I think it's in the best spot it's been in, you know, 20, 30 years, and can't wait for the future, you know, has to hold for the game that we love. You know, you've got, you know, in the next few years, we could even have 2 or 3 teams, you know, brand new teams enter the league as we eventually get to 18, and then, you know, down the line, you get to 20 teams in the competition. It's a very exciting time to be a rugby league fan, and if you guys haven't listened to this show, I appreciate you guys coming on board this year and checking out what this podcast is all about. I'm not a rugby league expert. I'm just a fan that gives his opinion. Lifelong fans. I've been supporting the game since, you know, I was old enough to remember, and diehard South Sydney fan, but I try not to let my bias get in the way. So, you know, I'm excited for the season. I know I've said that a lot in the first 5 minutes, but it's great to have Rugby League back, truly. And, you know, another exciting season where anything can happen is about to kick off, and it already has in Las Vegas, but it's about to kick off in Australia. And we're going to preview the remaining six games of the round today and who I think are going to win those matches. And there's some big games to start the season, some teams under pressure, some teams with a lot of expectation, and some teams that, you know, could be competing for the premiership at the end of the year. But if we can take anything from the games in Las Vegas, upsets could be aplenty. And, you know, if you listen to your betting agencies and, you know, the talk of the media, the two teams that won on Sunday afternoon were not the favourites. And it all kicked off at 1:30 over there at Allegiant Stadium when the Manly Sea Eagles defeated the South Sydney Rabbitohs 36-24. I did tip the Rabbitohs in this game, but it was clear to me from the first 5 minutes that Manly came out full of intent. They wanted to make a statement early, and I have been, and I think a lot of people have been critical of Manly's forward pack in the past, but I think they came out ready to play, and in particular, I thought Lachlan Croker, Ola Kawatu, Jake Tarojevic, Ben Tarojevic were all outstanding in the early portion of this game, and, you know, South Sydney came to play as well in those early changes. And what a better showcase for Rugby League, for a new fan to see plenty of exciting tries. And we ended up getting 60 points in this game. And, you know, at halftime, it was pretty close encounter. I believe Manly were winning that one at halftime. What was it, 12-10 maybe? Or 18-10 even. Before the Rabbitohs took the lead in the second half, they got it to 20-18. And then Manly just ran away with it. They were way too clinical for South Sydney. And we'll talk about the Rabbitohs in a moment. But just how impressive Manly were was a surprise to me. And, you know, every team wants to get off to a good start to open the season, but I thought that the cohesion between the playmakers for Manly were outstanding. Tom Tarojevic, how good is the team in full flights? Even when he was running out to the field, I was watching with last week's guest Aaron Meehan, diehard Manly fan, and, you know, he got to full speed and we were a little bit worried that, you know, he could do his calf right then and there, but he was out fit and he was outstanding. Support play was great. He scored a try. He set up a couple of tries. Actually, he didn't score a try. He set his brother up for a try, and but he looked threatening all night. So, you know, really promising signs for Tom Tarojevic. I thought that Luke Brooks had a very impressive debut for Manly. And, you know, as I said, I criticised their forward pack, but they really stepped up. I think Lachlan Croker defensively was outstanding. Really did, helped, you know, the bigger forwards with a lot of that workload. Ola Kawatu and Ben Tarojevic got in space and they dominated. And I actually think Ben Tarojevic is just due for an outstanding year. I thought the outside backs were good. I think they dominated the middle of the field, but they also dominated when they went out wide. And I was just really impressed by what I saw by Manly to open the year. I had have them finishing at 8th at the end of the year based on my preseason prediction. But if Tom Tarojevic stays fit, Luke Brooks continues to pick his moments to run while letting Cherry Evans control the game, they could reasonably finish much higher on the ladder and potentially even compete for the premiership. That's how impressed I was with what I saw from them. Now, I don't know how much you can take from the Vegas games with those smaller fields and the occasion. Obviously, every team was going to be up for it, so it's going to be hard to maintain that. But, yeah, I honestly think that they've all the tools to be a big threat this year if they play like they did in the weekend. I think that you know, the defense was pretty good in patches. They did let in 24 points, but, you know, despite the fact that they scored 36, they also let a few opportunities pass them by. I think Cherry Evans and some of his game management were a little bit clunky. So I think there's plenty of improvement in this Manly squad, and the fact that they're beating, you know, South Sydney, who obviously they finished outside the top eight last year, but on their day they are still a premiership threat themselves, speaks really highly about the start of the year that Manly's had. And it looks like a lot of these players have had big off seasons and are ready to make an impact in these opening months of the competition. So really impressive win by Manly. Jason Saab unfortunately was injured in the process of Manly's win, but yeah, I can't speak highly enough of what I saw mainly in the weekend. And if we look at the other side of the coin, South Sydney, I thought there were some impressive signs early on. And I think that Latrell Mitchell being fit and, you know, being in the game and picking his moments and just actively getting more involved is a really good sign that South Sydney could have a big season in 2024. However, it was very similar to what you saw at the back end of the year for South Sydney in terms of The commitment in defence, just not good enough. And it was extremely disappointing for me as a South Sydney fan to watch that. I think Cody Walker was really quiet, and I thought Lachlan Ilias' effort was there. And I mean, it was showcased during that big chase down of Jason Saab when he made that break. You know, he tried hard, but he can't be the leading playmaker of the Rabbitohs side. You need Walker to be really controlling and dominant on the football field. And I know that he came in this game under an injury cloud, but I don't think he was particularly impressive and really stood out. And maybe he needed that week off round one, but you know, he probably wanted to get on the field for Vegas. But yeah, defensively, close to their line was really disappointing. And what disappointed me most as a South Sydney fan when it comes to the Rabbitohs, despite the fact that they looked really good in patches, was the forward pack. I think that, you know, pre-season and pre this game, I've been critical of Manly's forward pack, but they really stepped up. And South Sydney, who I expected to really dominate the middle of the field in this game, I think they were very disappointing. I don't think their front row has really got the game off to a good start. I don't think, I mean, Kepi tried hard, but I think the Tola was quiet. I don't think Mulally or Jacob Host particularly had an impact when they came to the field in the second half. And even the likes of Jai Arrow, and you know, he went off early, which didn't help them. But him and Keon Kalomatangi, I thought, could have had a much bigger impact on those edges, or even come into the middle of the field to look for work. So while Kepi and Cook were good, I think that, yeah, the South Sydney's forward pack really let me down, and let their fans down and got on the back foot. And then, yeah, when Manly shifted the ball, despite the fact they dominated the middle, I think that, you know, the Rabbitohs were shaky on those edges, and it didn't help that, you know, you've got Kenner and Jacob Gagai and guys that haven't got a lot of first-grade experience consistently. Obviously, Gagai's making his debut, but Kenner's been in and out of the system. Tass probably didn't think he'd be starting a year, but I think they got found wanting on those edges. And, you know, if South Sydney are going to be a threat this year, they've got to do a lot of work defensively, especially if they're going to be competitive with these bigger sides. They can do all the flashy stuff they want, the Rabbitohs. And at the end of the day, it was only 5-6. The missed goals from Latrell Mitchell didn't help. But, yeah, they just need to be better on both sides of the football. Their attack was a little bit clunky at stages, but some moments of brilliance. And defensively, they just need a complete overhaul at the moment, Rabbitohs. And it's a really concerning fact, because they, at the first 10 to 12 weeks of last year, their defence was on point. And I don't know what's changed since then. But they need to find a way to get it back and get it back quick, because the next 2 weeks for South Sydney, they're the Broncos and the Roosters, the other two teams in Las Vegas, and they could be, you know, 0-3 if they can't fix some of these glaring issues quickly. But, you know, it is round one, so I don't want to be too critical. And obviously, brand new environment, they're not playing the rest of the year in Las Vegas, they're coming back to Australia, so hard to take a huge amount away from, you know, how these results are going to be an impact for the rest of the year. But I saw Manly, you know, big surprising dominance, and South Sydney really struggling to get into the game at stages, and defensively struggling again. I think that's the big takeaway from the Rabbitohs. And we'll get into the other game now. 3:30 was the Roosters beating the Brisbane Broncos 20-10. And I actually tipped the Roosters in this game. I thought, you know, under the bright lights of Las Vegas, and after a couple of disappointing years for their standards, you know, they're still finalists, but, you know, definitely should have been probably competing for the premiership and were the premiership favourites heading the last year's season. I thought that the Roosters would start strong, and they did that. Their forward pack, extremely impressive in this game. Came out to make a statement early, just like Manly's did, and it was played in the middle of the field more. We didn't see as much free-flowing football, but we saw a clinic from the Roosters early. They really put the Broncos under pressure. Obviously, Joey Manu got that intercept try early on, just because of the great defensive pressure that they put on. And then we saw, you know, some good work in the middle of the field, in the middle of the ruck, from the likes of Lenu, who will get into that controversy momentarily. Collins, I think Radley was very impressive in the middle. Great link man, but defensively really got into Broncos' faces and put them off their game. And I think that Walker and Keary, who have had a lot of talk over them in the past 12 months, controlled the game brilliantly. And Sam Walker in particular, I thought, was outstanding in this game. I think that the maturity and the growth that he has had as a player since being dropped to New South Wales Cup last year is evident, and was evident on Sunday afternoon. That the biggest lights, he stepped up. Joey Manu showed that he's without a doubt a big match player. And, you know, I would be very impressed if I was Trent Robertson in the start to the Roosters, apart from one incident that we'll get into shortly, which is, you know, been the talk of the rugby league world over the last few days. And it's a massive incident, and I don't want to sugarcoat it. It's not good enough, and we'll get into that in a moment. Before we do that, I'll talk about the Broncos there was always the fear at the start of the year they could have a little bit of a grand final hangover, and I think that we saw it in effect over there in Las Vegas. I think that the Broncos, you know, they tried hard, but the Roosters were just very clinical, and their forward pack, I don't think, made a big enough impression. For me, Payne Huss really worked his ass off like he always did, but the loss of Bikora to a HIA early didn't help him. I thought that the likes of Ricky and Jensen were quiet, and, you know, when it came to their playmakers, you know, Mam, Reynolds, even Reece Walsh in patches, I don't think they had enough of an impact on the game, and I don't think they controlled the game and picked their moments well enough. So a lot of improvement there for the Broncos, especially coming off the heartbreaking grand final loss of last year. But, you know, again, hard to take away a lot when you're playing in a foreign country. It's a big match experience, a big match occasion. I'm not making excuses for the players, but I think that round one in general is a place to, you know, really just see where you're at in terms of the rest of the competition. And, you know, despite the fact they couldn't really get their game, you know, and play the way they wanted to play on Sunday, I don't think they were, you know, humiliated by the Roosters. And I thought it was a decent first hit up by the Broncos, who play the Rabbitohs next week. But yeah, before we move on and get into this week's previews, we do need I have to, because it's the talk of the rugby league world, touch on an issue that definitely shouldn't have happened on Sunday, but it looks like, by all accounts, allegedly did take place, and that was Spencer Lemieux allegedly calling Ezra Mim a monkey. Now, he's going to face the judiciary tonight. We'll see what happens there, but racism in rugby league is definitely not on. Racism in general in the world is not on in 2024. I think as a human race, we should have, you know, grown better than this at this point in time, and, you know, nobody's perfect. I understand that, and yet in the heat of the battle, and things might get said, but Spencer Lemieux and every rugby league player should know better than to do what he did, especially, you know, it didn't help the fact that, you know, it was one of the biggest occasions in rugby league history on Sunday, and that's where it's happened. But it didn't matter if it happened here, it didn't matter if it happened at, you know, I live in Shell Harbour, and it doesn't matter if it happens at Rilla Oval. It's not on. It's not on in any form of life. And if you're racism, you've got to, if there's racism, there's got to be consequences. And I think Spencer Lemieux deserves a lengthy suspension. I think he will get it. I think the fact that his family members have gotten involved in social media, and the fact that he didn't really, he didn't apologise, he didn't play down any of that speculation in the post-game press conferences, it's not a good look. And it's not a good look for the Roosters to have their coach Trent Robertson, who's, in my opinion, Lottie Dakiri has caught out, and I think that he's had some questionable Roosters bias comments in the past in press conferences. And let's be honest, all coaches are going to be biased for their teams, but it's just some ridiculous comments to him to say, just because, you know, he said it was getting investigated and he can't comment, but just because the allegation was alleged by Ezra Mann doesn't mean it was a fact. Now, you got a guy after the game, after one of the biggest games of his career, in his locker room crying, and it's not about the match result, it's about what's occurred there. I feel like it was very narrow-minded by Trent Robertson. He should have just said no comment and move on, but to say that just because he made the complaint doesn't mean that it actually happened is just, it comes across as questioning Ezra Mim's integrity, and I don't think that's good enough by him. And obviously Spencer Lemieux, I think, is going to be looking at a major stint on the sideline for what took place on Sunday, and it was probably the only real downer in an otherwise fantastic day for rugby league. And, you know, I'm not going to spend any more time on it, but yeah, the education's out there. There's no way that racism in any form should be happening in rugby league or just in general society today, in my opinion, especially in Australia. It's always disappointing when we've got to take a moment out of the show to talk about stuff like that, but it definitely needed to be raised. And, you know, to talk of the rugby league world, I could not speak on the issue. But I'm excited to move on and get into the rugby league action, the rest of round one now. And the action starts on Thursday night from McDonald Jones Stadium up there in Newcastle, when the Newcastle Knights host the Canberra Raiders. For both of these teams, first game of the year. For the Newcastle Knights, there's definitely an air of expectation and confidence in their club after winning 9 out of their last 10 games to make the finals, win a game of finals football against the Canberra Raiders, who their opponents are this weekend, and make it to week 2 on the back of a Dally M medal season from Kalen Ponga. It was an amazing stretch, and you know, with that success comes expectation. There's no doubt about it. You know, a lot of people and a lot of pundits and a lot of their fan base are expecting a huge season from the Newcastle Knights in 2024, and they get their first opportunity, as I said, against their opponents from finals week one last year, the Canberra Raiders. And you know, there's some personnel change at the Newcastle Knights. Looking at the team list this week, Dylan Lucas, a young gun, who's been biding his time in the lower grades and had a taste of first grade last year, he's going to be Frizzell's second row partner there in the starting lineup. Jack Cogger comes on the bench. Jaden Brayley has apparently re-injured himself and will miss the opening rounds of the competition as he works to get back from ACL injury, and Cogger gets that 14th spot. And I've mentioned it in my season preview for Newcastle. I mean, they absolutely have to find a way to get Cogger into the game. He was enormous in the 2023 grand final, and I think that he's the starting half in the competition. So whether Gamble or Hastings have to make way, we'll see how we go throughout the course of the season. But he will bide his time on the bench for now. Kai Pierce-Paul, another one that's making their debut, is a edge back row, I believe, as well, and he comes on the bench for Newcastle in the 17th jersey. But yeah, they're definitely looking to carry the momentum they had in the back half of last season. And you know, so much of Newcastle relies on Kalen Ponga and his form, and you know, I'm sure he'll be up to it and up for a big start in front of a sold out crowd up there in Newcastle. And how good is it that it's sold out? The, you know, Newcastle faithful have always turned up in droves for this club, even when they were getting wooden spoons, and I expect no different on Thursday night. And as I said, it's already a sellout, so it's going to be electric, the atmosphere on Thursday night football. But you know, as I said, I think the likes of Gamble and Hastings can control the game better, and a lot of success and a lot of the club success relies on them as well. Cogger's weighed in the wings if one of those guys slip, and there's no doubt that Dom Young's going to be a big loss for this club, because early carries, first, second tackle, you'll see Dom Young usually taking a hit up, and he usually finishes the game when he played for Newcastle with, you know, over 200 metres. Tuala gets his spot on the wing there for Dom Young, but him and Marzu, I think, have to really support the forwards, start those sets well, and then I think the onus is on the forwards to really lay an early platform and get to good starts in games. A big year for Leo Thompson. He had a good breakout 2024. We'll see how Crossland can back it up. But I've already mentioned Lucas and Adam Elliott in lock. Important link man, but going to have to do a lot of the heavy work in the middle of the field for Newcastle. Their opponents, Canberra Raiders, obviously a little bit less expectation on them this year. They somehow hung on to a top eight spot last year and were competitive against Newcastle before falling out. But no Jack Wyden, a relatively younger squad. Corey Horsburgh suspended at the start of the year. Elliot Whitehead with a calf injury that got announced today, he's out for the start of the year. And Sebastian Chris is even suspended to round two as well. So yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of people were expecting Canberra to fall, and you know, if you heard my season preview, I've got them as a bottom four team. Don't think they'll come last, but you know, I think that if you look at this team on paper compared to a lot of the other teams in the NRL, that Rick Stewart's definitely got a job on his hand, and he's been great at creating culture there at Canberra. But I think this is probably his biggest test in a number of years. A lot of younger players like Albert Hopewadi, Ethan Strange starting at 5'8". You know, Morgan Smith, he's over from England. He's only 23 and he's looking to make an impact in the NRL as well. Sorlo and Marotta on the bench there. So they've got a lot of younger players that are just at the start of their rugby league career in the top flight grades. And, you know, you can take that as a negative, but you can also take it as a positive that it's an exciting time for the club. We're going to blood some of these players that are going to be the future of the organisation, and you've still got the leaders, you've still got Tarpanay, you've still got Papali'i, who will see how much he's got left in the tank. Fogarty, always reliable at halfback, if nothing else. So there's definitely some talent on the board, but I think if there are any chance this week against Newcastle, they're going to have to start the game strong. Their forward pack, Tarpanay and Papali'i, are definitely going to have to lay the platform on early, and you've got to get Young and Hosking, who are both, you know, can both set the game open, especially Young. You get them in good space early, they can break apart some of the edges defence here for Newcastle, especially, you know, Marzu and Tuala aren't known for being particularly amazing defenders, so if you can get on the outside of them, maybe there's some points there for Canberra. But in front of a home crowd, a sold-out crowd up there at Newcastle, and based on the form that they ended the season on last year, Kalyn Ponga, if he's fit and firing and can start the year on a good note, I don't see any reason why Newcastle won't be winning this game. And I've got Newcastle to open their account in 2023 with a 12-point victory. My special for this game, $4, Dylan Lucas, anytime try scorer. I think he's an electric player with a huge future in the NRL, and I think that him and Tyson Frizzell are going to be a fantastic partnership for Newcastle, and you know, they're both going to run good lines on both sides of the field. So you've got the veteran in Frizzell next to the exciting young player in Lucas, and Ponga usually attacks down that left-hand side, so I can see Lucas definitely been on the receiving end of you know, some brilliance from Kalyn Ponga, so I've got him as an anytime try scorer at $4. Friday Night Football's up next, and at 6 p.m. on Friday night, local New South Wales time, the Warriors from Go Media Stadium over there in Auckland are at home against the Cronulla Sharks. The Warriors, we speak about teams like Newcastle that finished the season in unbelievable form, where the Warriors were the surprise packages of 2023, Andrew Webster's first year. They were amazing, and it's another settled side to start the year this year. Tua Picky is at fullback because Chantingle Clodstad got an injury in the offseason, so Tua Picky will be there for 3 weeks. He's got a bit of a taste of first grade already, and I think that he will make the most of his opportunity. But apart from that, all the usual suspects, you know, that led the Warriors to a top four spot in 2023, with the addition of Roger Tuivasa-Sheck and Kurt Catewell, that both come in. Unfortunately, Nakora is out with an injury this week, so Ford will start. But very similar team to last year, and you know, I think that they were everyone's second team last year, the New Zealand Warriors. I expect Go Media Stadium to be sold out again, and it's going to be a huge game to open the season against the Cronulla Sharks, who, you know, have this reputation of being really good against the lower teams and, you know, flat track bullies of sort, and really struggling against the heavyweights of this competition. And I know there's some speculation the Warriors could drop this year, but I think they're going to start the season hot, and I think that they're going to be one of the heavyweights of the competition again. So the challenge is on Cronulla, like it has been in all these games over the last few years, to make a statement and get a big scalp. And, you know, they're basically their full-strength team to do it. They're one of the most settled teams in the NRL, just like the Warriors are. Nico Hines, Trindle in the halves, Kennelly back at fullback, Brayley at hooker. You know, you've got both Finucane and Cameron McInnes, who are, you know, got all that experience with Wilton and Nakora, who give a bit more speed in the forward pack. So, you know, it's going to be a big battle up front, and I think the Sharks definitely have to step up in that regard. Oregon Kafusi and Royce Hunt there, and Toby Rudolph all got to lay the platform. I think Hamie Nuelli's not quite fit for the start of the season, but they've got a big job ahead of them to stop for Noah Blake, Barnett, and Tohu Harris from really making inroads. And I think that's the big difference for me. I compare these forward packs, and despite the fact that you've got the old heads, McInnes and Finucane, who will work all day for Cronulla, I just think that the Warriors have more power. Now, they can fatigue a little bit quicker, but if they can get a roll on early, I think they can score a lot of points here. And I think this generally will be a high-scoring game, because Cronulla, I think, have some firepower in them as well, and Nico Hines and Kennedy at their best are electric. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but I think that the Warriors, too much firepower. If Sean Johnson is anything like the 2023 Sean Johnson, then it'll be exciting to watch. And Tua Picky, I think, is going to be a real player of the future. Be interesting to see how RTS goes back in his return game. So, yeah, I think the Warriors will be too good for the Cronulla Sharks. I've got the Warriors in this game by 10 points. I think they make a big statement early in the season. And if I'm looking for a bet for you guys here, I'm going to go a real swing for the fences here. I'm actually going to go first try scorer in this game, Tua Picky at $14. That's right, two bets for me, Dylan Lucas and Tua Picky so far. Two young guns, I think, will both score in round one. But yeah, I've got the Warriors by 10 to start Friday Night Football, the first Friday Night Football of 2024. And it's already round one. We've got one of the biggest games of the year. This is my grand final prediction for 2024. But round one, you've got a team in the Melbourne Storm who haven't lost a round one game in over 20 years. They've never lost a round one game over Craig Bellamy. They usually start the season like a house on fire versus the three-time defending premiers, the Penrith Panthers. It's the Storm versus the Panthers and Amy Park down there in Melbourne, 8:05 Friday night. I cannot wait for this game. And there was some talk during the week that Cameron Munster slipped in the shower in Fiji and may be in doubt for this game. He has been named. All reports are that he'll most likely suit up for this one. Likewise, the number six for Penrith, been a little bit of doubt. He missed the World Cup challenge, but apparently also right to suit up will be Jerome Luai. So both these teams, almost at full strength. I believe Penrith are missing Kenny due to a suspension via ill-advised social media post in the off-season. No Nelson is over Solomona for the Melbourne Storm. Not sure why. He just doesn't seem to be in the team list, so there might be some outside injury there. And Scott Sorensen not available for Penrith either with a slight niggle. So apart from that, though, we've got a huge blockbuster game, and it's going to be exciting if you're a Melbourne Storm fan down there in Melbourne to gauge exactly where you are against one of the greatest teams of all time in the Penrith Panthers. But also because Papahausen looks like he's fit and firing for the first time in a very long time. All fit, all firing. You know, Papahausen, Munster, Hughes and Harry Grant all on the field at the same time. They are the leaders of the Melbourne Storm. They are the cause of a lot of Melbourne Storm's points. And, you know, if they're going to beat Penrith, those guys are going to have to be at their best. There's no doubt about it. The Storm have named the younger side. Joe Chan, a surprise inclusion in the second row to start. Trent Lerero goes to lock and Josh King goes to prop with the absence of Nelson the Sofa Solomona. They've got Wishart. They've got McDonald on the bench. Welsh shifts back to the bench after a less than ideal 2023. We'll see if he can get back to some form. But, you know, Meaney moves to the centres because of Papahausen. But it's a settled Melbourne Storm. I think Bellamy has liked the fact that they haven't had a huge amount of talk around them in the off-season, and I think they're going to be up for this game against Penrith, a team that they really struggle historically to beat ever since the 2020 Grand Final. They haven't found a way to do it. If they're going to win the Premiership in 2024, they need to find a way to do it, and it's a big test for them early. There's no doubt about it. And likewise for Penrith, they're coming off a World Club Challenge loss to Wigan. It was 16-12, and there was definitely some contagious cause and some controversy there in that game for a try to the Wigan players that probably shouldn't have been allowed. But, you know, it's rugby league, and, you know, one call doesn't cost you a game. You've got to be good for 80 minutes. So I do truly believe that. And, you know, I think that Penrith, they've lost two World Club Challenges in a row. Last year, they didn't really affect them. They came in round one and destroyed the Manly Sea Eagles. But I think this is going to be, you know, their biggest challenge opening of the season, the premiers that they've had. And they are almost full strength. As I said, Sorensen and Kenny's missing, but overall they look ready to go for another season. And it's hard to tip against this team because they're just so good, so clinical. We'll see how fit Cleary and Edwards are. I'm sure they, who are usually the ultimate professionals, will be able to start the season well. Forward pack, obviously no Spencer Lenu, but Leota, Harris, Lindsay Smith coming off the bench, Matt Eisenhuff there as well. You know, as good as ever, and in the forward pack, you know, Martin, Yo, Garner, no slouches either of those guys. So I think that it's going to be a blockbuster game on Friday night. I truly think that, you know, this game could even go as close as to going to Golden Point. I really think it's a toss of the coin. Melbourne are really usually so good at the start of the year. Penrith, you know, they've been so good for the last 4 years, it's almost impossible to tip against them. And I think that you know, where the games have gotten away from the Storm in the past between these two teams over the last few years have been in the forwards. And, you know, I think there was games last year that in finals matches last year where the Storm and their forward pack really started off well, but then Penrith were just too clinical and were too good for them. But I think it might be a different story this year with the spine fully in control. I think that the Storm open their 2024 season with a win. I think that I think that Papahausen makes a huge difference here. I think that a fully fit Harry Grant as captain makes a big difference. Just having Munster and Hughes control the game on the field and Munster picking his moments to run, got to be massive for them. For Penrith, they're definitely going to be another heavyweight contenders in 2024. There's no doubt about it. They'll be on for four in a row, and they'll be hard-pressed to be stopped by any team. But I just think that the Storm are fit and ready for this game, and I think that Penrith Their players might have a little bit of a grand final hangover to start the year and might not just be as up for this as Melbourne are. I think that Melbourne are treating this like it is a finals game, even though it is round one. I think Bellamy are going to have them ready to go. So I've got Melbourne by 2 points. I truly think it's a toss of the coin, but I've got to give the edge to Melbourne in this game. And if we're looking at a betting market in this one, I'm going to go safe. I think you can't really go wrong with 1-12 Melbourne Storm. They're currently 3.20. As I said, it's a toss of the coin. I don't think any team's winning this 13+, and I think the Storm will win, so I'm going to go the Storm 1-12 in this game. For those that have listened to the show regularly, you know what time it is. It's time for my favourite time of the week. That's right, it's time for Super Saturday, and the Rugby League gods have given us Vegas. They've given us some magical moments recently, as Rugby League fans, a huge, upset comeback victory in the grand final last year. But they haven't gifted us with a great Super Saturday to start the year. Now, I'm excited. I'm excited for all footy, but the quality of matches a little bit disappointing, but plenty of beers to be had, and that will be fixed, no doubt about it. From CommBank Stadium, the first game, 5:30, the Parramatta Eels versus the Canterbury Bulldogs. Both of these teams with big points to prove in 2024. For the Eels, they were very disappointing last year, missing the top eight after making the 2022 grand final. It was a disrupted season. They were missing stars like Dylan Brown and Paula and Campbell Gillard, Sean Lane for parts of the season. Ryan Madison took a free match suspension over a free grand final or something like that last year. It was ridiculous. But if you go back 12 months ago, I can remember the Eels losing a lot of early games by less than a try. So, they're definitely going to be out to start the season better than they did last year. And their opponents, the Canterbury Bulldogs, well, it's been a disaster pretty much 5 to 10 years for that organisation. And Phil Gould has been in charge for a few years now. Cameron Serrato, second year in the big job, and so many changes towards their squad. There's no players that's been at the club for 3 years. So all these recruits in, where are they going to fit in? It's been a constant puzzle, and we've got to look at their lineup over the last few weeks. And there's no doubt they're under a lot of pressure. I think that for Parramatta in this game, they've got the big stars. They've got Moses, Brown, Gufson, their forward pack, the 1-2 punch of Campbell Gillard, and Paulo's almost become a 1-2-3 punch because you got Hopgood there, who was outstanding last year. Plenty of strike power on the edges through Lane and Madison when he comes back, puns on, such an impact player. Morgan Harper, I think, is a good recruit in the centres, and Sean Russell's really exciting. They do not have Mike Acevo for the opening three rounds, but I think that Parramatta have plenty of starch, and I think that they'll be a threat this season, and I think they can get off to a good start here. I'm concerned about the Bulldogs. I've been concerned about them all off-season. You can sign all the players in the world. You've got to make the puzzle fit at the end of the day, and I don't know if this is their best lineup or not. They've got, Burden and Hudson in the halves, Taft's fullback, Crichton, who wanted to play fullbacks in the centres. Forward pack's interesting. You've got Famasuli and King as the starting props. Salmon's number 13. I just don't like it. I do not like the lineup. I think that there's expectations on the Bulldogs every year because they're one of the big teams in rugby league history. But I think it's going to be another lean year. And, I'm sure they'll be out to impress in their first game of the year like every team will be. But I just think that the Eels are absolute specials in this game. I think the Eels run away with this. I've got the Eels by 22. I don't see how the Bulldogs get in this game. I think that you look at their team on paper, they've got some stars, they've got Crichton, they've got Kikia, but I just don't see them competing against a lot of teams in this premiership race early. I honestly don't, and unfortunately I think it's going to be another long year for you Bulldogs fans. So I've got the Eels in this game. I've got them by 13+ at 265. I think you can even potentially take that further, to be honest, because I think that they might win at 19+. As I said, I predicted them by 22. I think 19+ gets you about $5-6. So that is my special for this game. I've got the Parramatta Eels 19+. I think they start the season off much better than they did last year, and are going to be out with a point to prove after missing the finals in 2023, after making the grand final 2 years ago. 7:35, Saturday night football at Cbus Super Stadium up there in the Gold Coast. The Gold Coast Titans host the St. George Illawarra Dragons, and this is truly a new beginning for both clubs. New coaches, new faces at the club. Des Hasler, coached his first game for the Gold Coast Titans, while Shane Flanagan coaches his first game for the Dragons. So a lot of expectation on both of those shoulders, and two teams that, you know, have struggled to make the finals over the last decade plus. So, you know, I think their fan base of both clubs will be happy with the new beginning. And unfortunately for the Gold Coast Titans, they've come into this game with a few injuries. Young Jaden Campbell, who was going to start the year at fullback, he's been ruled out for the first month plus, as has David Fifita, and we know that he's a superstar of the game when he's at his best, and without a doubt, one of the key pieces of this Gold Coast Titans side. In their place, we're going to see Cleese Huss, the younger brother of Payne, start for the Gold Coast Titans, and Keno Keeney, who's got a lot of raps on him, starting fullback there at the Gold Coast Titans. That's a big year for the Titans, because I think that they coming this season with surprising expectations. Brimson's moved out to the centres. Foran and Boyd get another year together. But, you know, big Tino, firmer back, Dave Fifita fit. Campbell, exciting. Keeney, exciting. I think that, you know, there's expectations they will be better. And defensively, they have to be a lot better. They conceded a lot of points last year. They have to start the season off better in that regard, and in front of a crowd at Gold Coast, at Seabus is what I'm trying to say, up there in the Gold Coast. They don't have a better occasion to do that against the Dragons, who a lot of people will think will be low on the ladder. So it's a big opportunity for Gold Coast. As for the Dragons, I think that, you know, it's definitely a work in progress under Flanagan. I think they've got a long way to go to be competitive against the big teams in this competition. But with the injury clouds that the Titans have, I think it's an opportunity for the Dragons to get away to a really good start here. We'll see how Flanagan combines with Ben Hunt. I think in the Charity Shield that they were both a little bit clunky, hard to take much away from trials, but I did notice their attack was a little bit stagnant there. They did compete well against Souths in that first half, which is a really good sign, especially in the forwards. But I think there's a lot to be desired in their attack formations over the last few years. It will be interesting to see the rotation between Sloan and Lomax. And I think that, you know, with Leilua signing for the club and Sua, you've got to get those guys quality ball. And, you know, if they can attract multiple defenders, you get the likes of Suli and Ravalala and Lomax into the game. So, you know, I don't think the Dragons are world beaters, but I think they can be competitive and cause some teams a headache. And I think they cause the Titans a headache here. But, you know, if I look at the positives and negatives of both sides, I think the Titans have a young, exciting team. And I think they're too good for the Dragons here. It's probably the game I'm least excited to watch this week, to be honest. But, you know, we'll see how both these teams start their season. And as I said, there's a lot of hype around this Titans team and their future over the next few years under Des Hasler, for sure. So if we look at my special for this game, I'm going to go a first try scorer. I think that he is just an absolute superstar at finishing, and I can't go past Khan Pereira to score the first try of this game and the first try of his year, which, you know, he already broke the Titans' top try scorer record in a season in his first year in the NRL. So take the $8, take Khan Pereira for me. And only one Sunday game this week, obviously, with the two Vegas games last Sunday. So at 4:05 p.m. in the last game of round one, it's a Queensland derby up there at Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane. The Dolphins versus the North Queensland Cowboys. Dolphins heavy outsiders in this game, and a lot of eyes will be on them to see how they respond after their big first season in the NRL, where they started off house on fire and kind of faded away with a lack of depth towards the end of the year. Their opponents, the North Queensland Cowboys, very disappointing after being in the top four in 2022 to miss out of the finals completely last year. They finished with, I believe it was 12 wins and 12 losses. So, you know, it wasn't a disaster of a season, but fell short of expectations, no doubt about it. And I think there's a real opportunity for both teams to make a statement early. For the Dolphins, always exciting to have the Hammer back at fullback, and we'll see how him and Jermaine Asako, who's on the wing, can rebound and respond after their amazing 2023s that I don't think anyone really saw coming. Herbie Farnworth, new recruit, will start the centres with Tessie New. Unfortunately, Jake Averillo didn't seem like he made the 17, the new signing. We'll see if that is a late inclusion there and out before kickoff, because I think he's too talented to be playing reserve grade. I'm interested to see how the partnership of Nick Arima and O'Sullivan go. Katoa will start the year in the lower grades, and we'll see how the two more veteran playmakers go. I think O'Sullivan is due for a breakout year after a injury-ravaged 2023, and will be out to make the team his own, and I think his partnership in combination with Marshall King and their ability to read the game will be very crucial for the Dolphins. I mean, if we look at their side, an aging forward pack, but veterans that know they get the job done. You know, the Bromwich brothers are still there. Flegler comes over from the Broncos with, you know the talent that he's got. Kafusi, Atkin, Lemu's an exciting player. Mark Nichols, the GOAT, on the bench. So, yeah, I think there's plenty to like about this Dolphins side. Likewise about the Cowboys, what excites me about them is they've got a very exciting batch of younger players. The likes of Zach Laibert will be playing in this one. I think Murray Talangi's got a long way to go in his career despite already playing Origin. You've got Fina Fuyaki on the bench, who had a good start to his career last year. Griffin Neem's another good young gun. McKaylee, not in the 17, but I think he's got a big season ahead of him. So, unfortunately, they lost Cohen Hess to an ACL injury before the season kicked off. And big years for the likes of McLean and Tamalolo. They're getting older as forward packs. They are the leaders, but we'll see how much they've got left in the tank. Likewise to Chad Townsend, their leader. I expect Tom Dearden, who's been named captain now, to take a lot more of the responsibility there at the club and really be the chief playmaker. There's rumours that Clifford could come in at some point of the year, but if you can get the ball out wide, you've got Labert, who's exciting, but you've got the stars in Holmes and Feld out there, Talangi. One of their key components, obviously, that will dictate whether their finalists is Drinkwater and his form. He was fantastic last year. So I'm interested to see how this game goes. I think it's another toss of the coin game. Both teams will be at the start of the season off with a win. I am actually leaning towards taking the underdogs, the Dolphins. I think that we saw what they could do with a lot of hype around them start of the year last year. There's not quite that there for this Sunday's game. But I think that a Wayne Bennett coach team will be ready to go round one. I think that O'Sullivan has a chance to really make a name for himself as the chief playmaker at the club there this year. They're an exciting team when they score points and sell the Cowboys. So I expect this to be a higher scoring game. But I think the Dolphins can get the upset. I honestly think that they're really building nicely and over the next few years can definitely be a finals contender or even going further than that. So they could make the finals in 2024. But Cowboys, they're no slouches. I think it'll be a good game of football to end the round, but I've got the Dolphins in the upset for 6 points. And to end the round, I just reckon the Dolphins head-to-head at 280. Really good value, considering I think it's round one. Anyone can win, and, I think it's a real toss-of-the-coin game in general, this one. But, yeah, I've got the Dolphins in it. So take it your own risk, but I think they're a pretty good thing in round one, the Dolphins. So those are my tips for round one. Just to recap, I've got on Thursday night the Newcastle Knights opening their season with a win over the Raiders. The Warriors big winners over the Sharks on Friday. The Storm continuing their unbeaten round one under Craig Bellamy by defeating the defending premiers in the second game. Super Saturday, I've got the Eels being too good for the Bulldogs. The Titans winning a game that's going to be maybe a little bit of an error fest against the Dragons. And on Sunday afternoon, I've got the Dolphins, a big upset over the North Queensland Cowboys. I hope you guys have enjoyed the show today. I hope you guys have enjoyed your football so far. The Vegas games were outstanding, and I hope you managed to sit down and watch a lot of the games this weekend. Remember to follow me on all the socials, Steve's the NRL Footy Tips on Facebook, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and I'll see you guys next time on Steve's NRL Footy Tips as we recap the rest of round one and preview all the action in round two. Talk to you soon, guys. Enjoy your football this weekend.